Well, good morning to all of you and Swift and any others who are joining us here this morning. It's a beautiful day with a lot of expectations of things opening up again. And as we go back out there into more of the world here, and I was reflecting this week on this message for this week and for the next 4 weeks, in fact. I remembered a time when I was back, actually, I think it was back here in the early 90s, I think, when I got my first glasses. Actually, it was probably the late 80s, that when I was in Taipei and I went to the specialist to get my eyes tested, and I got these new glasses. And I think back in those times, you'll know that glasses weren't quite as good as they are today. And I managed it. And they asked me, do you want to get this type of glass, that type of glass? And eventually, I landed up with some glasses that I thought were great. Anyway, I went out wearing these lovely glasses, and I went out, and the sun was blazing. It was actually a beautiful day. But I'd forgotten what kind of glasses I'd bought. And as it hit the sun, the glasses started to turn color. I'd bought these special lenses which turned color, you know, after the sun hits it. And I don't know if those who are old enough to remember those times when you had those glasses that turned color, and it actually, it was kind of like a yellowy color and a yellowy greenish color, and it completely changed the way you saw everything out there. And I was going, wow, you know, today's a little gloomy, you know, a bit gloomy, a bit gray, a lot of pollution in the sky. And someone said to me, hey, you got your sunglasses on. I said, no, I got my glasses on. And I looked at them and said, oh no, I just bought some glasses. And it's kind of like speaks to this message that I'm going to be speaking to today. That, you know, like glasses, and we get fitted for glasses because we started losing our sight. Now we've been blind, as the song said, and now I can see. But we all have these glasses that, in fact, affect our eyesight. And if we have the wrong kind of glasses, well, they impact our sight. And so in the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be speaking about something that really touched me when I was doing all the seminary school studies. And it was a topic called worldview. And I just really felt touched to share this with Swift and go through this in the next few weeks to help us, because I really think that this is an important thing for us as we're in the world, as we are not, as we're ambassadors of the world, as we go out there and we see everything that's happening in the world and the disasters and everything. How do we actually view that world? What are our lenses that we see through? Our worldview is explained as being the lens through which life is viewed. That's what worldview is. It's kind of like colored glasses. It's kind of like those glasses that I was explaining a moment ago. You have these glasses and it affects what we see. It's kind of like our core beliefs. Our core beliefs and what is true, what we think is real in life, that affects how we in fact view the life. It affects how we judge the world. It affects how we judge other people, how we interact in our relationships with other people. That's what worldview is. And now again, I come back to that illustration of when I went again for, you know, eye tests, and you can see on the screen there, hopefully you can see that that picture clearly. I don't know if you've gone for an eye test recently or otherwise, they have all these special equipment that tests your eyes to see if it's okay. And then they want to make sure that the glasses that they are prescribing for you are correct. So they give you these things that look horribly ugly, as you can see there. And then they have these lenses that they kind of like stick over your eye to say, can you see it properly? You know, and then they maybe have a couple few lenses that they put on if you have different, you know, refraction of light issues, and they'll put another glass on to test your eyes. And then they'll ask you to walk around the shop, you know, to see, and you're going there and go bumping into things, and you think, yeah, it's not really feeling quite right. I'm not seeing things properly. It's really weird. And then you go back and try it again until you get that right fit. And that's kind of like how I feel about this subject that we're talking about, worldview. For the next 4 weeks, I'm going to cover these areas. And it's kind of like these layers, you know, the test glasses that are being put on your eyes, and they're moving them to see whether you can actually see clearly. And there are four very important lenses as such. And I've got those on the screen there for you to see. And we're going to go over those one by one over the next 4 weeks. These are lenses that, in fact, impact yours and my view of the world, the way we interact with that world. And the very first one we're going to speak about today is that the source, and it's the source of our truth. Where do we get truth? How do we see truth? The second one next week we're going to talk about is origins, where we came from. And the third is the purpose. Why are we here? And the fourth is our destiny. In fact, what is ahead after death? A subject that many of us actually don't like to think about. And yet we have this lens of whatever we've been taught or whatever it is there. And it affects how we interact with the world. And I really want to touch on this because I sense that this is an important area for us. And especially as well as those seniors are going to be going out into this world to remind ourselves of the importance of worldview, our worldview. Now, the first subject we're going to talk about this week is source. And it is a source of truth, not source of other things, but it is a source of our truth, the truth that we hang on to, the truth that we go to seek in our lives. And I want you to ask this question right now, because maybe some of you are not quite sure what your own truth is in life. I want you to ask, what sources of truth do you allow to shape your perspective? What truths do you allow to shape your perspective of this world? Maybe you haven't thought of that before. Maybe it just happens as you go through life. Now, these sources of truth build up over our lives. I mean, we can think of it when we grow up as babies. Most of that truth comes from the people we interact with, and mommy and daddy's telling you, no, don't do that. Yes, do that. Yeah, that's good. That's bad. You have growing up in the family, mommy and daddy are feeding you these truths. Now, what does mommy and daddy believe as being their truth? Because they are feeding that to you. And then you have going to school and you start in your kindergarten. You have teachers which you adore and you love them, and they are pouring on some more truth and they're teaching you things about the life. And they're starting to shape this perspective, this kind of glass, this lens is being changed as we interact with these people and we start to learn more. And then we go and we have friends and we interact with those friends. Then we maybe go out into the work world and we interact with colleagues and we're now influenced by their perspective of the world as well. And then we interact with television. Oh, and social media and the news, which is trying to get you to see their view of what the truth is. And so we are bombarded by so much in this world that is affecting, in fact, this very lens through which we look at the world. And I want you to think about that for a moment. And there are also other religions. In fact, and some people might have grown up believing in other religions. I'll just take one example, for example, is Buddhism. A Buddhism, in a sense, comes from the source of that truth comes from a man, a historical man thousands of years ago, who experienced enlightenment. And he put in these teachings, which are called the Dharma, the teachings of Buddha. And in fact, the source of that truth is man, a man who had experienced this. And in the church today, and especially you and I want to talk about something that has influenced our parents, it's influenced the people around us, and especially it has been brought into the church today. And we need to struggle with that. And I'm asking you to struggle with that and recognize that today to identify, hey, am I seeing clearly or not? Well, back in the 18th century, there was something called modernism. And as the world changed in their receptiveness of the truth in the world, they started to view truth through science. In other words, I will only believe something if it can be explained objectively. if it can be proved scientifically, and if it can be understood rationally. So in other words, the modernists at that time, they said, I need proof before I can believe. And so we had many different preachers and that sort of thing, which took things into trying to prove that the word of God was actually the truth. But as we progress through time, one of the things about modernists in that era is that they believed essentially that people were good and that people would use science for the better, to make the world a better place. But then what happened? When we hit the 20th century, the First World War came, and they said, well, no, maybe people will correct it. But then the Second World War came, and people were actually using science to create weapons of destruction, to kill people and to do harm, in fact, and not good. And so this modernized, this modern view started to take a bit of shaking. And so people started to say, well, you know, science is not solving war issues. It's not solving famine. It's not solving disease. It's not solving poverty. And so they recognize actually science does not solve these issues, which with man, I mean, science is nice and all of that and does prove many, many things, but it cannot tell me the reasons, all these issues that we're talking about in the next 4 weeks. It cannot answer all these essential questions that I have about life itself. And so we had what's called the postmodern. So after the modernist period, that it, in the later 1900s, 1970s, 80s or so, people started to say, well, you know, I'm not going to take that anymore. I am going to see things through my own eyes. What I think is the truth, that's the truth. And so truth then became up for grabs. As postmodernists would say something like this, what you believe, what you experience, what you perceive is your truth. It's your truth. But what I believe, what I experience, and what I perceive is my truth. And you say, have you ever heard someone, especially these days, is saying to you, well, we can live together, but just don't push your view of the truth onto me, okay? You know, you believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want to believe. That is something incredibly common about today. And regarding the church today, the church, in fact, oops, I'm pushing the wrong buttons here. And so regarding the church today, we have these two main areas which still belong. A lot of the older people, in fact, still do believe in a lot of that modernism. In other words, they're saying, prove it. I want you to prove that truth. I'm not going to believe it unless you prove it. And we also have a lot of postmodernists in the church today who says, don't push your opinions onto me. I will decide what the truth is. And in fact, that's the majority of the people we face. And I'm asking you, how are you? Do you want someone to prove to you the truth? Or are you going to say, no, I'm going to take that as being true. I'm going to go to this source and I'm going to take that for being true. And you know, I'm going to make up my own decision about what is true and what is not true. And this is a reality that we are facing in the church. And I know that you as well are struggling with these issues, and this is affecting the clearness of your lenses today. Now, I want to go on to the real issue here. As we are Christians who believe in God, and I want to challenge us today, I want to ask you and myself, because I've been meditating upon this and preparing this as well, to challenge yourself and to ask yourself, do you believe in these things? Many of us claim to be Christian. We claim certain things, and yet the way we live life completely betrays what we say with our mouth that we do believe. That in fact, our worldviews have been affected by many others who are modernists or either postmodernists who say, no, I want to believe it first. I want to test it based upon many other sources to believe. I want to turn first of all and foremost to our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. How did Jesus Christ treat the truth? Now, I've thrown up two scriptures. There are so many scriptures, but I need to pick. I don't want to confuse you with too much scripture here today. I know Jesse, she always gets confused if throw too many scriptures out there all at once because she's got to meditate upon each one. And so I'm just going to take a few. And if we look at Matthew 4, this was when Jesus, if you know that Jesus, he was 30 years old, actually, before he actually started his ministry that lasted a mere three and a half years before he went to the cross. And in chapter 4, this was when Jesus has just been baptized by John and the Holy Spirit came down upon him and the Lord and the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Immediately after this and before he started his ministry, he went out into the desert and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and he became hungry. And we know what happened there. Satan came to tempt him. And Satan tempted him after these 40 days and 40 nights. And he says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." How did Jesus answer? Well, Jesus answered and he said this. He said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on what? On every word that comes from the mouth of God." Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then we go on and we go jump all the way through to the very end, the last night that Jesus spent with his disciples. And this is a second quote that I have there, John 17. Many of you know, will this be the high priestly prayer? This was Jesus and the night that he was about to be betrayed, that he prayed this prayer. And within that prayer, he said these words. He said, about his disciples, he says, "Sanctify them, sanctify my disciples, those that have been with me. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." This is what Jesus said. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe everything the Bible says that Jesus said that was written there in red in the scriptures? Jesus said, "Your word, Father, is the truth." Now, here's the issue with Jesus. Jesus, in those years, 3 years that everybody knew, he was completely and utterly obedient to the Father. And he repeated this many times. He says, "I do what I see the Father doing. I speak the words that my Father has given to me. And those are true. Those words are the words of the Father. Those are the words of God, and I speak those words. Every word comes from the Father." And so you see, Jesus lived out that truth in his life. And he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus could say, "I am the truth." And he was one with the Father. The very heart of that truth. And even John, in the beginning of his gospel, as we know, John 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Apostle John stated basically that Jesus is the Word. In Jesus, we find the truth. When we look to Jesus, he is the truth. The Holy Spirit reminds us about Jesus, points us back towards Jesus. And Jesus spoke the very word of the Father. Focus on Jesus. Wow. Jesus spoke as well. What he was teaching, everything he was teaching, he quoted so many times the Old Testament scriptures. And he showed how those scriptures pointed to himself, pointed to the truth. So I ask you again, now, where can we find God's word of truth? Where can we find that today? Well, we can find it in scripture. We have the Bible. We have the very Bible that records all the Old Testament and of the New Testament. And so I'm just going to quote a couple of scriptures here to help point out what is the truth. And we'll see, first of all, here is in 1 Thessalonians. This is Apostle Paul, who had traveled then in his travels, and he went through the northern parts where it was Thessalonians, and he went into Thessalonians, and he was persecuted all the way, and he had to escape from Thessalonica, and he came down to Corinth. And after he escaped from there, he was thinking about the church of Thessalonians, and he was really concerned for them. So he sent Timothy, his spiritual son, back to Thessalonians to encourage them. And then Timothy came back to him and told Paul what was happening in that church there. And as Apostle Paul was now writing this letter to the church of the Thessalonians, he was reminiscing. He was thinking about the persecution that he had experienced along the way to bring this truth, this word of truth, to the people there. And he was explaining to them how much he had suffered for the gospel. But then he said in these words that you see on the screen, he says, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you had accepted it, not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work at you who believe." Now you see, Apostle Paul said, he says, the word of God, I highlighted that, the word of God, which you heard from us. What is that word that they heard, that the Thessalonian church heard from Apostle Paul? Well, we know from Apostle Paul, he continually quoted from the Old Testament scriptures, because the Old Testament and everything in the Old Testament pointed towards Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the truth, the gospel of truth that he was preaching. And so not only did he preach and he proved from Old Testament that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, but he also, in his words that he spoke in speaking about Jesus and bringing to mind what Jesus has taught, were in fact scripture itself. So both in here, we see that he taught from the Old Testament, and the Thessalonian church took this as the word of God, but they also took what Apostle Paul spoke about Jesus, the New Testament, and everything that he spoke as being the word of God. So in here, it's speaking about both the Old Testament and the New Testament as being the word of God. And here in this incredible scripture, this is where Apostle Paul, in fact, in the second scripture that I'm quoting here, is from Apostle Paul, who was writing at the time when he was imprisoned for the second time, and he was going to be executed. And he was writing to his spiritual son, as he called him, his disciple, Timothy, that same Timothy who he sent to the Thessalonian church to help them. And he was writing, and again, when he wrote these verses, in fact, he'd been writing about the struggles that he'd had in presenting this truth of God to the people. And he was saying how much others, through their other worldviews in the works, and confused things. There were false prophets and false teachers that were trying to persuade people to believe other things other than the truth of God. Same as what we're facing here today. And so Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, just remember this. He said, just before this verse, he reminded Timothy, and he said, you have been brought up in the scripture since an infant. The Holy Scriptures have been taught to you. You know the Holy Scriptures from the Old Testament. And he said to him, now, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, first of all, I want to point out that all scripture. Not just pieces and this scripture, that scripture. No, all scripture. Now we remember that Jesus, in fact, quoted the Old Testament scripture again and again and again to show that he is the truth, that he is the heart of that gospel, the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I've faced so many times Christians who have said to me or said to others to say that, you know, do I really need to read the Old Testament? You know, it's kind of like outdated, you know, it doesn't have any impact on my life. It's about the old days. And, you know, the New Testament is more relative to me. Have you ever heard anyone saying that? Well, hopefully just from the little I've said, what Jesus referred to, what Apostle Paul, what all the apostles referred to was the Old Testament. If you don't know the Old Testament, how can you understand fully what Jesus said? What Apostle Paul said, what Peter said, what the New Testament said, if you don't know all of the scriptures or you haven't read them. You've also had other people that come to me and say, well, you know, the New Testament, I can just read it once, like a book. I've read it once. I don't need to read it again. And they would quote scriptures like, you know, he says, you know, doesn't the New Testament say that, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, when I need it, he will give that word to me, you know, at the time that I need it. And it's not me that's speaking, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to speak through me. And so they think, you know, I don't really need to read the New Testament again. You know what happens when people say those kind of things? They are taking exactly that scripture completely out of context. And that is something that we see as well in the church. And this is something that's affecting this truth. And that is something that is taken out of context. How many times have I heard Christians, those professing to believe in the truth, who quote the Bible completely and utterly out of context? Satan even used to tempt Jesus in the desert with scripture, but he took it out of context. He didn't add the rest of the scripture that was around what was being quoted. I don't know about you, but it saddens me when I see Christians using scripture to slap others around or to use it out of context to try and justify something that they are doing, which is actually not according to God's word, or to encourage you to do something that they want you to do. They use the word of God many times to influence you to do something for them. Or they want the attention for themselves. Taking the word out of context is something that is rampant in the churches today. And the reason for this is because people don't believe that they should read the whole Bible. They don't think it's important to read the whole Bible. And I ask you, have you read the whole Bible itself? I was looking through some statistics just this week, and I came across this, it was called Ponce Foundation. I'm just going to quote from what they said when they went out there to see, you know, how many people are actually reading the Bible. They said this, said, out of over 2 billion Christians in the world, less than 30% will ever read through the entire Bible. They went on to say the fact is that over 82% of Christian Americans only read their Bibles on Sundays while in church. 82% of Americans will only read it on a Sunday. And I'm going to challenge you right now, and I'm going to ask you, do you believe that God's word is the truth? Do you believe that all scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, do you believe, in fact, what Jesus said himself? Now I'm going to challenge you. If you in your mind have just said to me, or said, yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Now I'm going to ask you, have you read the whole Bible? Have you read it from beginning to end? That's a big question, because I know there are a number of you that haven't. And yet a number of you will quote scripture again and again. And there is a danger of you quoting that text out of context because you have not read the whole word of God. Your lenses, in fact, have been impacted very much by other things in the world. And so I'm challenging us today, all scripture. The next thing to point out, in fact, in this same scripture, in 2 Timothy 16, chapter 3, 16 and 17, is this idea of God-breathed. What does it mean by all scripture is God-breathed? It says here, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for many things. What does it mean, all breathed? Now, I've placed another scripture on there, and this is taken from 2 Peter 1. Now, you'll notice that these two quotes that I have here are both from Apostle Paul before he was put to death. He was in a prison now, and he was going to be put to death, and he was writing this last message to Timothy. And then in 2 Peter, Peter was writing as well before he was put to death, and he was writing to the church. And he was also encouraging them. And in both of these, you will see that both of the apostles, in fact, were struggling with the issues of false prophets and false teachers that were giving people other worldviews and persuading them to believe in other things other than the truth of God. And they were struggling with this. And the thing that they did before they died is they wanted to encourage people and if you look at Peter's epistles, if you look at his writings, he was encouraging. His last words were, in fact, to warn the Christians. He was encouraging. He was telling them about complacency. As I was saying, complacency, not to focus on the word. Complacency about heresy. And he was saying, hold on to the faith. Hold on to that truth. And he was saying, you need to grow in your faith and in maturity. In faith. And he was also saying, but you need to reject all of those who would distort the truth. And that's where he comes into, in fact, saying these words that he says. And so in 2 Peter, if we actually see before he wrote these words that you have on the screen, he actually said this. He says, we also have the prophetic message. When he talks about the prophetic message, a lot of the Jews would talk about that prophetic message, in fact, being all of the old scriptures. They considered it the prophetic word, a word from God, spoken from God, as something completely reliable. And you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. So before the verse that you see in this on the screen there, he actually said that the people that wrote these words did not, it's not their own interpretation. It's not human. It's from God. And then he goes on to say these words, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Do you believe these words? What it means there is that Jesus, in John chapters 14 to 16, he spoke saying that he needs to rise from the dead and go to the Father and ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit who will live in us and be with us and be our advocate. In other words, he will come alongside us and help us and to bring, and he called him the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth will bring that truth to your mind through these scriptures. And what the verses here are saying is that that very Holy Spirit who comes and now lives in us is the same Holy Spirit that inspired the Old Testament writers and the New Testament writers. He inspired them to write the words that are in the Bible. It does not mean that he controlled them. He didn't control them like a puppet and write this word now and that word. No, he inspired those writers out of their own characters that God had given them, out of their own gifts, inspired them to write what was true, that truth. Now, isn't it great that that same Holy Spirit that inspired all of these scriptures is the very same Holy Spirit who lives in you and me? If you have believed in Jesus Christ, if you are a believer, then as that song says, you were blind, but now you see. The Holy Spirit enables those lenses of ours to see clearly the truth. Do you understand this verse a little bit more now? That it is the inspired word of God. All scripture is. I was looking at some statistics again last week just to give some perspective of what the church is reflecting these days. And again, from the Ponce Foundation, they had another quote, and they said this. They said, one of the main reasons why American Christians don't read their Bibles is that only 22% of them believe the Bible is fully inspired by God himself and written by men who were divinely appointed by the Lord Almighty. They went on to say that only 1 in 4 American Christians believe the Bible to be a book that is written. And the Americans believe, in fact, that the Bible was, 3 out of 4 of them believe that it's written by mere men and not the Word of God. And these are Christians. But we're talking about modern and postmodern view. This is because of the impact of the world, the impact that says that I am going to believe in my truth. I am going to be the decision of what is true and what is not. But we can see how the scripture is teaching us here today. And I hope that you are receiving that. The next thing to speak about here is the authoritativeness of the word of God. In that same scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16, here is what Apostle Paul spoke to his beloved son. He was going to be put to death, and now his disciple, he was saying to him, you have been taught in the word. It's important because all of that scripture is God-breathed. And he said that it's useful for these things, for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. So that, this is it, you and I who believe in Jesus can be thoroughly equipped for every good work because we know the truth. And so you're seeing, and this is a different teaching. I'm not going to go through all of that, which is saying what is teaching, what's rebuking, what's correcting, what's training in righteousness. But in essence, Apostle Paul was saying that that is the authoritativeness of the scripture. The scripture has the power, in fact, to teach us, to rebuke and correct us when we're not doing things according to the truth, and then training us day and day, in fact, through a relationship with our lovely Lord Jesus Christ, through that relationship, the Lord Jesus Christ and through his word, teaches us, trains us in righteousness. Now, through these verses, we can understand 3 very important things. Is 1, that the Bible is inspired by God. And that God is, in fact, the ultimate author of the whole of Scripture, the whole of the Bible. And the second point there is that the Bible is inerrant. What inerrant means is that God used human authors to write exactly what he wanted without error. And the third thing is that the Bible is infallible. In other words, it is incapable of error and will accomplish exactly what God wants. Do you believe that, my brothers and sisters? Do you actually believe that? Do your actions, do your thoughts believe that? This is the word of God. I love Isaiah 55 when he's talking about the word of God here in the old scriptures. It's taken from Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. He says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Isn't that incredible confidence? That is God's authority of the word. It is the word. And again, looking at that 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, I've been quoting again. We look at those last words that he said there. He says that, wow, you treated what I, Apostle Paul, taught you from the old scriptures and about Jesus Christ and the truth. You treated it as the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. The word of God is at work in you who believe. Now, the scripture says that God will continue to work in us to transform us into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word has power. If you just believe that it's merely men who wrote it and it's not authoritative, that is sad. But it has power. It has power to transform. Some people say that change is impossible. Some people say that people don't change. You are who you are and you'll never change. You cannot change. But I beg to differ, because I know that that is a lie. Why do I know? Because of my life. I have been transformed completely. There are people who knew me before who wouldn't believe how I've changed. I have changed so much since I gave my life to my Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? When I see people, and there are people in Swift as well who I've seen, and I've seen transformation in these people's lives. Do you know one common thing I see about people who are transforming and who are changing? It is that they have something in common, and that is an incredible love for God's word. They cannot get enough of it. They want to read God's word daily and every day, because the word of God teaches us, it rebukes, it corrects, it trains us in all righteousness, transforms us. It has power and authority. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? And so I want to sum up today. I want to ask you, are you seeing clearly through this lens that we have been explaining today? Do you see clearly that which has been put in front of you here, in front of your eyes right now? Do you see clearly? What is your source of truth? Is your truth clear or distorted? Or are you continually finding yourself checking or going to other people to ask, or searching on the internet, what's the truth of this? Are you trying to find sources from all sorts of different places to find the truth, to answer your questions? As a Christian, when we become the source of our own truth, we walk on very dangerous ground. When we think that we are able to tell ourselves, or we are able to distinguish what in the Bible is true and what is false, what in the world is true and what is false, we tread on very dangerous ground. And I'm challenging us again, and I'm saying, and I'm asking you, do you really believe that the Bible is the true source of truth? And ask yourself, Do I believe that all scripture is God-breathed? Do I believe that it is the inspired word of God that has all authority over my life? Ask yourself that right now. Ask yourself, have I read the whole Bible? Because that'll answer your question whether you really do put emphasis on the word of God. If you haven't read the Bible, your lens is showing what worldview you believe in. Do you read many more other books, other things apart from the Bible that give you the source of truth or not? That'll answer your question. Have you read the Bible more than once, or do you think, once is enough? Now I've read the Bible. How well do you understand the Bible? Are you one of these people that likes to just pull one verse for the day and sort of like meditate on that one verse, not knowing, in fact, the context of what that verse speaks to? And so incorrectly quote the word of God? Ask yourself that question. Whenever you quote a scripture, are you thinking of all the scripture? Are you able, like I was doing today, explaining to you the background of who wrote that and why they were writing it, so that you understand what that actual verse meant in its context, so that you can apply it correctly to today? Are you reading the word in context? Are you reading the word that you read in context of the verses around it? Are you reading it in the whole book that you are reading it? Are you reading it in context of what other authors have written about that topic? Are you reading it in context of the whole Bible? Are you reading it from God's perspective? Are you reading it as merely man's word, as another geography lesson? How do you view the word of God? This will impact you and I, brothers and sisters, as to how we see the world through this lens, the source of truth. And now I'm going to ask you, I've asked these questions. Now, hopefully some of you have been penetrated too through the Holy Spirit, who's speaking to you and saying, actually, no, I haven't read the word of God through. I haven't read all scripture. No, I don't really understand exactly what each verse I see other people quoting means in the context of it. No, I don't really and truly understand all of the word of God. I'm asking you, are you willing to commit? To commit to making the Bible your first and foremost source of truth? Do you want to make the Bible your lens through which you view the world? That's what I'm asking you here today. Will you read the whole Bible? Will you commit to reading the whole Bible and reading it more than once? Will you commit to the Word of God? And if you are one who's saying in your heart, yes, I will commit, don't do it out of your own strength or your own power, because Jesus said that he will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. Ask God to help, that Spirit of truth who lives in you will illuminate the scripture that he inspired in the writers to help you to understand that scripture. Please, brothers and sisters, take the word of God seriously so that it has an impact upon this lens through which you view the world. Let us pray. Oh, most glorious, holy, and loving Father, I want to give you thanks and praise for your word. I want to give you thanks and praise for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who said that your word is truth, that Jesus quoted from Old Testament scriptures, that the word, the very word that Jesus spoke, is the word of God, that the word that the apostles spoke is the word of God and should be treated as truth. I pray, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you will convict each and every one of us to trust that the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, that all scripture is God-breathed. It's breathed by you, inspired by you, that it is inerrant, infallible, and it is authoritative. And that if I come to you and your word, that you will help this lens, this worldview that I have, we have, to become clear. I ask, Lord, for a love of the word of God in each and every person here today, that there be a passion, a love for your word, that we will seek you in your word each and every day, that we will come and pray to you based upon your word, that we will live our lives according to your word, Lord. May your name receive all honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.